Our next speaker is James Cronin, Recataloguing Treaties in the National Archives, the Keystone of Diplomacy.
Good morning. So, yes, my name is James Cronin. I'm a records specialist in our diplomatic and colonial section within our advice and records knowledge department. And I'd like to talk to you about a very small project, which only took 2 weeks to complete, but hopefully is a good example of what we can do with quick hits to open up access to the records far more successfully. So, by way of introduction, treaties are the culmination of the highest level of diplomatic negotiations and the basis upon which further diplomatic negotiations and agreements take place. They also define the nature upon which we trade and upon which we protect our citizens overseas. So with this particular project, what we did is we catalogued 272 entries in the principal series for treaty protocols and ratifications, and they've had their descriptions enhanced to include the name by which they're more popularly known, so that the Convention on Prisoners of War of the 27th of July 1929 may now be found under the Geneva Convention. Protocol of Proceedings of the Berlin Conference of 1945 will also be found as the Potsdam Agreement, and the Agreement on Northern Ireland, signed on the 15th of November 1985, may be found under its more popular name, the Anglo-Irish Agreement. Recatalogue details across three principal series. With NSP 108, there are protocols and ratifications of treaties running from 1579 to 1780, and they include about 556 boxes. Later protocols of the treaties may be found in FO 93, running from 1775 to 2003, and there's 9,300 of those items. So you can see we only did a small bit for those where they really are more commonly known under other names. And FO 94 are the ratifications of those particular treaties from 1782 to 2005. The reason that we did this is that, very logically and quite rightly, what the Foreign Office did is, rather than cataloguing and indexing those treaties under the place in which they were signed, perhaps the person who signed them, they defined them by what type of treaty it was and when it was. So they would record them under four main types, under treaties of marriage and alliance, such as the 1863 marriage between Prince of Wales and Princess Alexandra of Denmark, under pacifications, such as the 1783 Treaty of Peace with America and the 1902 cessation of hostilities with Boer forces, truces, such as the 1802 Treaty of Amiens that led to a brief lull in the French Revolutionary Wars, and treaties of trade, or as they termed it, mercantile intercourse and agreement, such as the 1854 Convention of Commerce with Japan and the 1858 Treaty of Friendship and Commerce with Siam. So what's changed? What did we actually do? Well, we've left the former Foreign Office description, which sometimes wasn't amazingly helpful, so if you were searching in this case for the Entente Cordiale, which can be found in FO 93/33201, it was down as Declaration and Secret Articles. You'd find it difficult to discover it in that way, so what we've put in square brackets at the end, but that doesn't stop a search at all by putting it in that way, but does show that what we've done is an amendment at the end, is to put in, also known as the French Declaration Respecting Egypt and Morocco, as its proper title, or the Entente Cordiale. Similarly, and again with First World War commemorations to the fore at the moment, the Treaty of Versailles was down in the catalogue as Treaty Peace. So we've now included also known as the Treaty of Versailles. To do so, we checked our descriptions with five principal sources. We looked at Encyclopaedia Britannica, we looked through Whitaker's Almanac, we also looked at the Foreign Office Index to Treaties, 1635 to 1913. This is a typescript, non-published index where the Foreign Office arranged those treaties by the place in which they were signed. We also looked at the Oxford History of the British Empire, since so many of these treaties then had an impact upon Britain's colonies. And finally, and you may groan, but we looked at Wikipedia because what we wanted to capture was the popular name by which a lot of people would be coming to us with some very general information only in order to find those particular treaties. So I thought what I'd run you through is examples of some of those treaties. So this first one is a 1703 treaty with Portugal, down in the catalogue as the Treaty of Commerce. This is a ratification that can be found in SP 108389. It was signed at Lisbon on the 27th of December 1703 and ratified by Portugal on the 30th of April 1704. It's known as the Methuen Treaty, so we've now got it down as that. And this commercial and military treaty was negotiated by John Methuen, MP, ambassador to Portugal at the time.
It gave the British access to deep water ports near the Mediterranean, allowing Britain to more efficiently deal with the French naval base at Toulon and draw Portugal away from depending upon France to defend its shoreline. It also stipulated that English wool should be exported to Portugal free of duty, while Portuguese wines imported into England would attract a third less duty than wines imported from France. As a result, the treaty became more commonly known as the Port Wine Treaty, by which we can also find it now. Some of you may recognise this treaty, a treaty of 1713 with France, down in the catalogue as a treaty of peace and friendship. It's dated at Utrecht on the 11th of April 1713, so it's better known as the Treaty of Utrecht. It was negotiated between the Bishop of Bristol, Keeper of the Privy Seal, and the Earl of Strafford for Great Britain, and the Marquis d'Uxelles and the Sieur de Ménagier for France. The treaty was the conclusion of the Peace Conference of Utrecht, which ended the War of Spanish Succession, declared in 1702, with France and Spain. Its chief provisions were the acknowledgement by France of the Protestant succession to the British throne, and the cession to Britain of Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and territory around Hudson's Bay. A separate treaty, also known as the Treaty of Utrecht, was signed with Spain on the 13th of July 1713, with its chief provisions being the recognition by Britain of Philip of Anjou as King of Spain, and the cession to Britain of Gibraltar and Menorca. And that's held under reference SP108/475. In the past, in looking for these, people have ordered up the wrong treaty when they've been looking for details specifically to Gibraltar, because that will only be found in the Spanish version. So these catalogues will enable people to more effectively find what they want. You may recognise this treaty, a treaty of 1783 with America, just known in the catalogue as the Treaty of Peace, or more specifically, the Definitive Treaty of Peace and Friendship with America, which was signed on the 3rd of September 1783. It's known as the Second Treaty of Paris and ended the American Revolutionary War, or the American War of Independence, and was ratified by the United States on the 14th of June 1784. It was signed on the 3rd of September 1783 by John Adams, Benjamin Franklin and John Jay on behalf of America, and by David Hartley MP on behalf of Great Britain. Again, I put this in with the First World War commemorations in mind. This is a treaty with Belgium in 1839, down in the catalogue as Treaty Separation from the Netherlands. Known as the Treaty of London, and signed in London on the 19th of April 1839, the treaty guaranteed Belgian neutrality and the security of its borders. It was signed by plenipotentiaries from Austria, France, Prussia, Russia, the Netherlands, and the newly independent Kingdom of Belgium. This ratification was exchanged in London on the 8th of June 1839. It achieved renewed importance when Germany invaded Belgium in 1914 in violation of the treaty, and Britain declared war on the 4th of August 1914. The German Chancellor, Theobald von Bettmann-Hollweg, was incredulous that Britain and Germany could be going to war over what he termed the chiffon de papier, the scrap of paper, and the treaty has been subsequently termed the Scrap of Paper Treaty. This is a treaty in 1856 with Siam, again a ratification, and is known in the catalogue as the Treaty of Friendship and Commerce. Better known as the Bowring Treaty, this treaty opened up Bangkok to British trade, and as other nations were quick to follow suit to foreign trade, and in return guaranteed Siam, later Thailand, independent sovereignty. It was signed on the 18th of April, 1855, by Sir John Bowring, Governor of Hong Kong, and King Mongkut of Siam, and ratifications were exchanged at Bangkok on the 5th of April, 1856. The treaty allowed free trade by foreigners in Bangkok, which had previously been subject to heavy royal taxes, and allowed for the establishments of consulates and consular courts for the protection of foreign tradesmen and residents. This is a treaty signed with Turkey in 1864. In the catalogue, it's down as the Treaty of the Union of the Ionian Islands with Greece. Known as the Treaty of London, the treaty was signed in London on the 29th of March 1864. Under the terms of the treaty, Britain was to cede the Ionian Islands to Greece. Britain had held the seven Ionian Islands, or the Septinsular Republic, as a protectorate since 1815, and the islands comprise Corfu, Ithaca, Paxo, Cephalonia, Zante, Santa Maura, and Cerigo. The British departed the Ionian Islands on the 2nd of May 1864, but maintained Corfu as an important naval base. This treaty, also signed with Turkey, is down in the catalogue as the Convention of Defensive Alliance between Great Britain and Turkey. Its full official title is the agreement with Turkey giving Her Majesty full powers for making laws and conventions for the government and regulation of Cyprus in Her Majesty's name and for the regulation of the commercial and consular relations and affairs free from the Porte's control. So fortunately, it's better known as the Cyprus Convention. The treaty was signed in Constantinople on the 4th of June 1878, and under the terms of the treaty, the Ottoman Empire relinquished Cyprus to Britain in return for military support against the Russians and support for the Ottoman cause at the Congress of Berlin. We subsequently didn't particularly support the Turks in the Congress of Berlin. The second last one is a treaty signed in 1898 with China, and is down in the catalogue as the Convention for the Extension of Hong Kong Territory. Signed on the 9th of June 1898, with ratifications exchanged at London on the 1st of June 1898, this treaty was known commonly as the Second Convention of Peking, and it gave Britain full jurisdiction over newly acquired land necessary to protect the colony of Hong Kong. The treaty guaranteed Britain a 99-year lease of extra lands. In 1841, Britain had acquired Hong Kong, and in 1860, the Kowloon Peninsula. But as the population steadily increased, and encroachment into Chinese territory was made by other European powers, and the need to expand and to accommodate the growing population and establish an effective cordon around Victoria Harbour became paramount. It's with this treaty that, upon its expiration, we would have been left with an indefensible situation of defending what was left there. So, then in 1987, Margaret Thatcher met with the Chinese premier. She reluctantly agreed that Hong Kong would be ceded as well. Finally, in the catalogue, this treaty with South Africa from 1902 is known as Articles of Agreement for the Cessation of Hostilities. It's also known as the Treaty of Vereeniging, or the Peace of Vereeniging. The treaty was signed at Pretoria on the 31st of May 1902. This peace treaty, ending the Second Boer War, was agreed between Lord Kitchener, Commander-in-Chief of British Forces, and Lord Milner, High Commissioner for the British side, and Boer representatives Berger, Reiter, Boerte, De Rey, Meyer, and Krug, being the acting government of the Republic, and Brebner, De Witt, Herzog, and Olivier for the Free State. So that's a little run-through of some of the treaties, and the names by which they may now more popularly be known really need to be. Thank you.
This podcast is copyright to the National Archives. All rights reserved.